In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. And welcome, everyone, this sixth Sunday after Trinity. We have a joyous baptismal announcement to make this morning. Walker Cole Magnuson was baptized this last Friday, July 9th, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is in accordance with Christ's institution and promise. He's back there. Can you hold him up for us, Cole? Just so we can see him. There he is. His baptism was administered by me here at St. John. Walker's baptism was witnessed by his parents and family and his baptismal sponsors. All witnesses in attendance are now asked, do you attest that this baptism was administered as has been reported? Then answer, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Very good. Well, if you weren't here, you can't say, yes, we do. But I appreciate the enthusiasm. Walker, in holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The congregation now says, amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Giving thanks to God for this wonderful gift of new birth and renewal in the Holy Spirit, we pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted Walker the new birth and holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What a wonderful gift. In celebration of this great thing that has transpired, we sing now our opening hymn, 596, All Christians Who Have Been Baptized. All Christians who have been baptized, who know the God of heaven, and in whose daily life is prized the name of Christ once given, consider now what God has done, the gifts he gives to everyone baptized into Christ Jesus. You were before your day of birth, indeed from your conception, condemned and lost with all the earth, none good without exception. For like your parents, flesh and blood, turned inward from the highest good, you constantly denied him. Love that was washed away, immersed and drowned forever. The water of your baptism day restored again whatever
All that our man is sin destroyed, and all our sinful selves employed, according to
congregation stands and continues with the introit. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be ye not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We continue with the Gloria in Excelsis. Thank you.
To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaim that Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our only King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus, receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. In God the Father's glory, amen, our glad reply.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness and of your great mercy. Keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for our catechesis lesson. First, the second commandment. What is the second commandment? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. We sing a fairly unknown hymn, hymn number 581, just one stanza, and it's all based on that second commandment, not misusing the name of the Lord your God.
Do not my holy name disgrace, do not my word of truth debase, praise only that as good and true, which I myself say and do, have mercy, Lord.
At this time we invite forward our children of the congregation, anyone willing to come up for a message on the second commandment. At the very beginning of service, we celebrated the baptism of Walker Cole, right? In the baptism of waters, what does God put upon us? We're baptized into his what? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I know you guys know this. Very good. That name of God that he puts upon us changes everything. Everything. Right? It changes the way we see ourselves, right? God's put his name on us. He's claimed us as his own, right? When you have a project or a piece of paper and you write your name on it, right? You're saying, that's my work, right? Well, God does that for us. He puts his name on us. You are mine, he says. Wow. You're God's. It changes the way we see ourselves and all of God's creation. Right? Changes what we desire in life. The way that we think, the way that we feel, the way we speak and act with God and with one another. Changes the way we see human history, right? The history of mankind and creation. Changes the way we understand math and science and medicine, right, Doc? Changes the way we understand education, right? The wisdom of God is Jesus. Change the way we see our jobs in the world and our place in this community. God seals us in the promise of eternal life, and he claims us as his own. Wow. So let's learn his word together and grow in that understanding of his name, so that he can teach us every day how he has made us and all things new. Let's stay together and learn together. It's a lifelong adventure, and I'm right here with you. I learn every day, and I have a lot to learn. All right. Whatever comes our way, whether it's good or bad, I'm right here with you in the name of our Lord. And we, all of us and the whole congregation, we are here together. We're on this journey together to life everlasting. The Father and the Son and his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit is with us, and we have his love and his forgiveness and his joy that never ends. God has made it this way, and it all begins right there at the font, right there in that baptismal font, where God puts his name on us, right? Baptizes us with water in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Right? All of it begins there. And it's yours. Wow. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us your holy name. Through Christ Jesus, you teach us not only how to understand your name and worship you, but how we ought to speak and act and live in this world. Help us to be a great community, a light unto this world, that all that we do and say may be a shining example of your name which you have put upon us, that all who hear it and see it may also be marked in such a name and receive that promised gift of eternal life and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. All these things we give thanks to you, O Lord our God, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, you may go back to your seats, and the congregation will continue with the readings for today. Yes, Theo. That's okay. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, that's the name of God, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I, Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. St. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law, the Torah, or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the faith, the baptismal faith, which Walker has and has been baptized into, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our sermon hymn. These are the Holy Ten Commandments, stanzas 6, 11, and 12. Defend and treat your foe as your friend. Have mercy, Lord. You have this law to see therein that you have not been free from sin, but also that you clearly see how pure toward God life should be. Have mercy, Lord. Our works cannot salvation gain. They merit only endless pain. Forgive us, Lord, to Christ we flee, who pleads for us endlessly. Have mercy, Lord. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, everyone who is baptized in this name, shall be saved. Little Walker was just baptized on Friday. A small gathering of family and friends with folks who may not have been here otherwise, right? We have one of them was an organist at St. Peter's. She couldn't have been here otherwise. Or St. Peter's would be mad at us for stealing their organist, right? It was good to be together. Good to be gathered in the name of our Lord. Good to sing a hymn together. She played for us. And to behold this miracle divine. We beheld a new birth, this pure gift of grace. In season and out of season, it is offered to all. What a wonderful gift it is. In this baptism, Walker, as is with every Christian, Walker was crucified with Christ. His sin was put to death, nailed to the tree. And Christ claimed Walker as his own, raising him up in the newness of life with the promised inheritance of a resurrection like his very own, a resurrection unto everlasting life. The greatest of all gifts our Lord gave to little Walker, the same gifts he gives to you. He seals us in his name, the name of the eternal God, who has no beginning and no end, who has been, is now, and always will be. The one who created us and all things. The one who saves us from our troubles, from our transgressions, from our intentional sins. The one who washes us in the tide of his forgiveness and gives us his life and his salvation. Yea, even his Holy Spirit to dwell in our bodies as his temple. What a gift it is to be baptized in the name. We behold this miracle in great brilliance today. God's word has illuminated it for us. But oh, ever much more so on the day to come. But until the dawn of that glorious day, O beloved of the Lord, until that day our Lord takes us, or until he returns, we must remain here. But why? Why are we still here? Wouldn't it be better to be with our Lord? Yes, it would. Is this life just some kind of purgatory that we must endure? A little hell on earth we've got to suffer through until Jesus comes again. Is that all life is? No, of course not. We are here for each other, to build one another up, to grow and mature in the truth, to keep ourselves unstained from the world, to commit ourselves to holiness and godly living in everything that we think and say and do, so that as a whole body, we might not only endure, but reach out unto the folks around us, until at last all the elect from every nation and every generation is called to glory. We are here so that everyone may hear the proclamation of Christ's salvation, and in so hearing, believe, and in believing, be baptized in the very same name which is upon our foreheads and our hearts. But a great and utter hindrance to our mission and our life and our communion together as one, a great hindrance to this is anger. If anger is not the word of choice, then perhaps resentment, bitterness, contempt, right? It's the eye roll, right? When you're talking to someone, that's contempt. Hatred, frustration, all of it directed toward somebody who just rubs you the wrong way and remains a thorn in your side. Anger. This our Lord exposes for our sakes today. Anger in all its forms. He says, do not be angry with your brother. Do not murder, it says. And what does this mean? Don't kill people. Of course we know that. Even pagans know that, at least for a little while longer. But Christ interprets this, the spiritual weight of this law. Murder is not only an outward deed, but one that begins in word, in heart, in mind. He says, everyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. Anger is not a part of who we are. It's not part of our new life. The anger of man, it says in Scripture, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I've told some of you, I need to get that tattooed right here because I need to remember it. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But what about justice, some will ask, and rightfully so. Will those who do evil not be punished? Oh, punishment will come. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will repay. Indeed, he shall. On judgment day, there will be a reckoning. But until that day, beloved, you are not the judge. You are not the bringer of wrath, God's avenger. Instead, you are Christ to your neighbor and to your enemies. You are Christ to those who hate you. Christ to those who have slighted you. Christ to those who out of anger have done and thought and spoken all sorts of evil things to you. You are Christ's, and you are Christ to them. For as for you, O Christian, you have been crucified to anger. You're dead to it. So how can you live in it? You cannot, Paul says. For you belong to Christ, and he has set you free. Thanks be to God. In accordance with our new life in Christ, my friends, let us not be like Cain and say to our Lord, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Nor are we to pass by our beaten brethren along the side of the road. We bear the name of Christ. We have his heart. And so we do not pass by, but we are that good Samaritan who upon seeing not his brother but his enemy beaten in the street has gut-wrenching compassion for him and does everything he can to see that his enemy is restored. He puts aside all that he has for the sake of someone who hates him. That is love. Now, since we have this love, since we have a heart like this for our enemies, right? It's given to us in baptism. Since this is our heart, how much more so ought we have the same heart for those of our own household, the household of faith? These long-standing grievances that cripple our community, these resentments, these past sins that were committed that are still held against the brother today, these are damnable in our midst. Christ our Lord says that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, "You fool," counting their brother unworthy of Christ's shed blood, unworthy of Christ's love, his forgiveness, his mercy, "You fool." Whoever says such things, thinks such things, believes such things, holds such things, lives with such anger, they will be liable to the hell of fire, Jesus says. But by the grace of God, O Christian, you have died with Christ to this sin. Your anger has been crucified with him, and you have a new heart. You are forgiven, and so you do not live in anger, but you live in Christ and forgive others who sin against you. And you forgive them gladly, willingly, freely. This is who you are, you bearers of the name. Christ has driven the spirit of anger away. And the spirit of reconciliation has come. Our Lord instructs us in what the fruit of this Holy Spirit looks like in and among us. First, Christ reminds us of how his fruit is born for a brother whom you yourselves have sinned against. Today he says, if you are offering your gift at this altar, and here remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. Wait till after the sermon. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. God's highest treasure is not your pocketbook, it's you, right? And your brother at peace in Christ. That's his highest treasure, his family. So put away those wallets and your praises and thanksgivings, and first endeavor on this great task of reconciliation. Seek your brother, gain him back. Say, brother, I have sinned against you and against our Lord. So I ask you, for Christ's sake and in his name, forgive me. And if he forgives you, rejoice. For you have gained your brother and have laid up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Your brother is this treasure. So seek him, find him, and then return here with him, rejoicing. Then, after this, you may rightly offer your gifts of thanks and praise. Secondly, Jesus reminds us of how his fruit is born for a brother who has sinned against you. What do we do then? In Matthew chapter 18, our Lord says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell everybody else about it. Right? No, he says, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. Now you can bring me in. Not before, but now you can, or another brother and sister. Take one or two others with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If your brother refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And this means the whole church. For the whole church will call out to him for his sake to bring him back, to save his soul from hell. And if he refuses to listen to the church, our Lord says, then let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector, no longer a brother. Yep. He's not part of the body anymore at that point. He's excommunicated. That's a strong word. Right? And I don't know why this teaching of our Lord has fallen out of practice in our congregations. Instantly you hear that word, I think people are like, ooh, excommunicated. Ooh. You're not part of this communion. That's all it means. But if there is no excommunication for devious spirits that divide the body of Christ, if there is no excommunication for them, if Christ does not drive away the spirit of anger, there can be no spirit of reconciliation. There can be no spirit of unity. God is holy. God is one. He doesn't mix in or allow for bitterness and strife and division in our midst. We are one body, one spirit, one Lord. Consequently, for those who create division and strife by their own anger and resentment and continue to live in this sin and are not dead to it as we are in Christ Jesus, and to live in the newness of life, then they are cut off, Christ says. Theodore David. One day you can get in the pulpit, buddy. I want to back up to the top of that paragraph here. Consequently, for those who create division and strife by their own anger and resentment and continue to live in this sin and are not dead to it as we are in Christ Jesus and to live in the newness of life, then they are cut off, Christ says, and we cut them off for their own sake, to let them know that this is the way that you have chosen, O brother, this way that you've chosen is the way to hell, and we will not be part of it. And for your sake, we pray for you, and we still love you. And in Jesus' name, we will always call you to repentance. But until that day, you must know that you are not one with us and with God. You are of a different spirit. This is a strong word. It is a word intended to break his heart. And if his heart is broken by the word of God, then, beloved, then what shall we do? What shall we do when he comes back here in a repentant heart? Should we just kind of turn the other way as he walks through the door? Oh, geez, here he is. Right? Should we murmur as he takes his seat in the pew? Oh, here's that guy. There he is. No. We sit right next to him and we say, "Brother, you're back. I rejoice with you. Welcome. Let us rejoice together. Pastor, look, he's back." Our repentant brother will always be welcomed back with open arms. Not only back into our pews, but back into the body of Christ, back to the rail, back to our Lord, back to his body and his blood, back to his crucifixion, back to the baptismal promises, back unto the inheritance of everlasting life, back unto the name which is above every name, back unto that name which saves from this day forth and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of announcements today. You'll see some information there on Walker's baptism and sponsors. All heads of household, if you'd like a free copy of the small catechism, this little tiny thing, please come see me. I've got a couple of them left. They're free to you. Church voters meeting will be July 18th. You'll see in your bulletins, it was put there, a copy of the minutes from that meeting. It'll be a bridal shower planning meeting at the same time, kind of quickly there, for Morgan Glinky Jacobson, right after the service. And the rest of the announcements I commend to your reading. Is there anything else that it's not included, anyone wants to bring up? Awesome. Well, with that, we'll turn to the prayers of the church. Please stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, for our pastors and missionaries, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all husbands and wives, and for all families from generation to generation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all babies in the womb and for their mothers, especially Rachel, Jordan, Tristan, Holly, Heather, and Anjali, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation and its leaders, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, especially Ryan Sawyer, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Lacey, Scott, Marcy, Carrie, Mike, Lorraine, Ryan, Barbara, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, Frank. For Larry, Janice, Daryl, for Ernie and Mike, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
the holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adore, heaven and earth with full acclaim, the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in my remembrance. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Our Lord's table. Take, eat, the body of Christ given for you. and take drink his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the name unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis. Congregation, please stand.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in holy peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. Alike to thee the Gentiles, unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now receive the Aaronic benediction. It's the benediction our Lord gave to his people of old to put his name upon them. Yahweh bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, 865, Lord help us ever to retain.
Lord, help us ever to retain the Catechism's doctrine plain, as Luther taught the word of truth
in simple sound
to tender
youth.
Help us, your holy law to learn, to mourn our sin and from it turn, in faith to you and to your Son and Holy Spirit three in one. Hear us, dear Father, when we pray for needed help from day to day, that as your children we may live, whom you baptized and so receive.